Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Matzah Hashem BPJ number 87. That's Pais Pnimi joint shear for men and women, shear number 87. We started to go into a book called Setting a Table for Two by Avram Peretz Friedman, the same author that wrote Marital Intimacy, which we reviewed in prior shiurim. And he talks about in the introduction regarding lessons he learned as he was writing and re-editing this sefer, which he, Baruch Hashem, had a lot of success with, and with the direction of his rabbeim, who gave him advice of how to go about doing it. And he tried his best to make it streamlined, to make it accessible, to make it be read in a quick, calm, easier way. And he learned things as he went along. And these are three points that he mentioned. One point is, success doesn't come from anything outside the home. Don't be distracted or deluded. Your success in this world and the next is the Torah home you create and not much else. This is so true. You know, Rasul Salanta talked about, you know, you thought you could change the world and you thought you could maybe change your country, your town, your family. Then you realize you could only change yourself. So if you want to take this deeper, you could say the only one you could actually change is yourself. But the truth is everyone is influenced by their surroundings. And therefore, the real key for every Yid in their immediate surroundings, that is where the Ikar Hatzlacha is, where you are in your home, with the ones closest to you, your wife, your husband, and your children. And that's the true Hatzlacha, and how our true success is measured, not by how the outside world perceives you, but how you're perceived within your Dalat Amis, within the domain and closeness of those that are the closest to you. Number two is cutting corners doesn't produce anything good. We are not smarter than the Torah and its system of halacha. That is extremely true. Let's say the harchakis halachas or the halachas of Aina. Those are two, this is a good example of it, because they seem opposites, but they're really one. But corner cutting is not what we call in halacha learning all the different nuances of it, and a basic, basically estimating each individual situation in paskening accordingly based on that. That's not only not corner cutting, that is the essence of Torah. So when the Torah sees through the eyes of a Pesach or someone who is teaching Hadracha, that based on the matzavim that are there, the Torah requires you to do something somewhat differently than it would do under other circumstances, that itself is Torah. So the cutting corners he's talking about here, that he says doesn't produce any good, is if you're violating it and ignoring it. You're not paying attention. You're not even asking the question from a legitimate erlecha, true Talmud Chacham or Tzaddik. But you're just figuring it out on your own. And based on secular stuff, you for sure will end up the wrong way. But it doesn't mean that it's rigid. We're no smarter than the Torah, but the Torah in and of itself tells you, Derechei Adachei Noyam, my ways are pleasant. And my system of halacha is made in a way where it works for every single individual. And based on the Shikl Hadas of every single manhig or paisik, they know when to bend the halacha, not to break it, when there's something called hefsed merubah, other situations. And that makes Torah and halacha beautiful. Not the rigidity of it, but the fact that it flows within that system. But it is true. None of us are smarter than Torah itself. And then he talks about the third thing, that it's not possible to overstate the disastrous repercussions of these following negative behaviors: teasing, cynicism, impatience, laziness, self-absorption, and neglect in the home. The teasing is tricky because some people have a good sense of humor. You could tease in a good-natured way that usually does not cause any harm. It usually does not. But at the same time, one has to be very, very careful not to let it cross the line. Sarcasm and cynicism, they're very close first cousins to one another. We're in and of itself, it's a very dangerous tool. A lot of people have it within them. Even those that have it need to use it in a very sparing way, not to overuse it, not to use it in a way that's harmful, especially in marriage. And those other midos that he discussed, impatient, laziness, self-absorption, and neglect. So then he goes into a fascinating insight, which we're going to go into right now, to explain a question that he has. And we once did on a Sunday, a Chuvas HaRashba on this subject. There is a mitzvah that the Rabbanan made, the mitzvah of making brachos before eating as an example, or before mitzvahs as another example. So the question is, if there's a mitzvah of Aina, which is a mitzvah that requires that a man provide his wife with sexual intimacy that is also emotionally enriched and nourished and nourishing, and there's a lot of halacha and hashkafa pertaining to the performance of this mitzvah, so the Mefarshim are wondering, why did we not have a bracha before this mitzvah? And the Stipler Goyen Zatzal did say that the mitzvah of Aina is a mitzvah comparable to a mitzvah of eating matzah on Seder night. So just like you make a bracha on Seder night al achilas matzah, why doesn't the husband make a bracha before he's intimate with his wife in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Aina? And they have many wide range Mefarshim on this, but part of it is we see as well that tzedakah, that in tzedakah as an example, the Chachamim did not make a bracha. They were not mistaken. There's a mitzvah to give charity. You don't make a bracha before giving tzedakah. There's a mitzvah being mavakar chaylam, visiting an ill person. We don't make a bracha. Ashekidshanu b'mitzaysev etzivanu levaker es hachayla, or lenachem es avelim when you're being menachem oval somebody. So why did the Chazal not formulate mitzvahs then? But here is one nekuda that many Mefarshim answer, which we learned when we did that Rashba, is that any mitzvah that success is required on another person's involvement, the Chazal did not require a bracha, because they may not cooperate. For example, it's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, but what happens if the poor person refuses to accept the money? Or the sick person may refuse to allow the visit. Or in this case, the wife may decide, I'm not up to the mitzvah of Aina right now. I I'm not ready for it. So all of those things, it's not entirely in the control of the one performing it. So that's why the Chazal did not make a bracha formally before it. Others say, and this is the main nekuda I want to stress now that he does bring up in this Hagdama, is that they did not want to make a bracha, the Chazal, before a mitzvah that may appear to objectify the other person, to reduce that other person other than a prop in a mitzvah. It's actually very insulting and dehumanizing. For example, when you give tzedakah for a poor person, Hashem's main nekuda for you, yes, you do it because I commanded you to give tzedakah, but he wants you to have compassion on that poor person. That should be the focus of the mitzvah. When Hashem wants you to visit the ill person, yes, the Torah gave you that tzivoy. Hashem wants you to do it. And you do it also, of course, because Melech Malchi Amlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to visit that ill person. But the ill person needs to feel that it's a kindness experienced by the gesture of the concern and affection of the giver of that kindness. So in other words, in these mitzvahs, tzedakah, visiting the sick, comforting the mourner, and mitzvah, and avayna, the mitzvah, the chelik of the mitzvah, a big part of it is the love and the mercy and the concern and the compassion. And the bracha separates you from that. It makes the person think, what am I, just a chefza shal mitzvah? The poor person overhears. Harei asher kedushanu b'tzeis mitzvanu al nesin as tzedakah, whatever it is. The one who is accepting it, and it's an impersonal exchange. Basically, you're putting in another element here where the poor person really feels like, what am I, an object of a chefza shal mitzvah? That is why the Chazal did not make such a bracha. They didn't want the vulnerable person to be dehumanized by it, objectified by it. They wanted him or her to experience the chesed as an act of a true, genuine concern and affection, not because it's technically a mitzvah. That's why the Chazal did not bring that in the mitzvah. So with intimacy, the same thing applies. The mitzvah of Aina requires the participation of both husband and wife. It's not only on the husband. And making a bracha before Aina will introduce some type of bad taste in the mouth, sour note in the exchange, causing the wife to wonder, this, that my husband is showering love on me and compassion on me, does he really love me? Or he's just loving to do this mitzvah and has really nothing to do with me other than I'm quote-unquote a chefza shel mitzvah. And the truth is people misunderstand the Ramban, I believe, and other Mefarshim that talk about this in Bereishis, where they say that before the Chetz Eitz Hadas, intimacy, physical sexual intimacy, was the same like putting on tefillin and other mitzvahs, that indeed a wife in this act is considered a chefza shel mitzvah. But again, when you learn the Mefarshim, you need a Rebbe to teach it to you. Does not mean that the wife is an esrog now, that you just shuckle, or your wife is the money that you give to the poor person. That's not what it means. That's not the Torah's intent. It is not, it was never meant to be that way. We've had other shiurim explaining what it was meant to be, but the bottom line is, that's not what it was meant to be. And therefore, you do not make a bracha on Aina. Yes, it's a mitzvah, and they're both a chelik of the mitzvah. But the main concern, the Chazal say in Aina, the chelik of the mitzvah that's most important is the love and the caring and the compassion and the giving. And anything that could even slightly mitigate that thought, we don't make a bracha on it. Another svara throws out the whole question. They say, what do you mean there's no mitzvah bracha on Aina? There is. What is the bracha of Aina? The bracha is recited under the chuppah on the wedding day. Those are the brachas, the sheva brachas, the original first sheva brachas. Those are the brachas for all future Ainas, all future unification between husband and wife. But the question is how is that shayach? Number one is a bracha has to be recited right before the mitzvah, and here it's ongoing. You made a bracha on your wedding day. If it's on the mitzvah's ayin and you do a mekayim a mitzvah's ayin 25 years later, that's a big hefsek. Number two, the bracha is only in effect as long as you remain focused on doing the mitzvah without interruption. So here you made a bracha under the chuppah decades earlier even, and you're saying that covers intimacy between a husband and wife that they'll share many, many times over the years in the future? What about all those other separations of hefsek during those 10 years of marriage, 20 years of marriage or so? The answer to that is very simple. There is no hefsek. Just like by Birchas HaTorah, yes, it's daily brachas, but why isn't it a hefsek every time you close the sefer? It's because it's one long hemshech. Same thing over here. The Torah views marriage as one long uninterrupted experience of shared intimacy, physically, sexually, emotionally, and spiritually, beginning from the wedding and onward. And we're going to be mamshich a little bit on this theme, Be'ezus Hashem, in the upcoming shir. Bracha v'atzlacha.